This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hey guys, it's Brittany Payton, and thanks for checking out another episode of The Sweet Life right here on the BetRivers Network.
Okay, well, I want to welcome everyone into another episode of The Sweet Life right here on the BetRivers Network. I am Brittany Payton, and I am excited to be joined with our guest today. She's ESPN NFL reporter, also the host of the podcast First Take, Her Take, welcoming in Kimberly Martin. Kimberly, it is so nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us. I know you've got a busy schedule, so I appreciate you fitting me in.
Oh, please, please, please. I was excited once I got the podcast invite. So I'm glad we get some girl time for a little bit and we get to chop it up.
I know, a little girl chat. So I know, first, starting with you, I know you joined ESPN back in 2020, but you have been covering the NFL as a writer, as a columnist, as a reporter for over a decade now.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it makes me sound really old, but I like to think about it like I'm just experienced seasoned. No, I've been very lucky in my career. My career as a writer was the climb, the different jobs that I've gotten, it was pretty quick. I've been very fortunate. I actually started as I was a backup baseball writer, as you know, I cover the Mets and the Yankees here and there, and then the Jets. That was the first ever beat I got in 2012. And that was 19 days after Tim Tebow was traded to the team. So that was my first ever beat. My entry into the NFL world was Sanchez and Tebow and Rex Ryan. So it was a lot. It was chaos, but it was glorious. But I've had some good jobs, Washington Post, comms in the Buffalo News, Yahoo. So this is the first TV gig, and I started the same week as the pandemic. So it's been a wild, wild ride.
Definitely a ride. Coming into a new job, a new position in middle of pandemic, way to kind of just, you figure it out somehow. Yep. But I mean, what a way to start, especially, I know, you know, me, when I was working in news in 2020. So, you know, you go from being in person with all these people to this new thing of sitting in your room or my closet. That's where I was at the time. And just kind of, you know, talking to the computer, it became the new way, the new reality.
Yeah. The new norm. Players in the NFL actually got tired of us calling it the new normal. But for me, especially starting a job, most people's work their way up in like local news and like, or like local sports. And then, you know, you sort of cut your teeth there. I cut my teeth as a reporter, beat writer in locker rooms. So transitioning to a TV job, which I think people sometimes, at least some of my followers now, like they think it's like, oh, you're on TV. That's great. It's like, they have no concept of the work that goes into it. For a 40-second SportsCenter hit where you've got to, you know, distill information, a week's worth of information of interviews and things and notes. It's a different skill set as a writer. But for me, going to ESPN at a time where locker rooms were shut down, I think I'm best in a locker room. I love people. I love talking to people. I think most sports writers love Sundays, which, don't get me wrong, Sunday is the best day. As a writer, because I don't write as much now, but I still love Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays in a locker room because you actually are interacting with these guys. And I love watching them watch us. Like, I would stand in the Jets locker room and watch how they would watch reporters, like, and players, the same way they break down film and they scout opponents. Like, they are very quick about, oh yeah, I know that person knows what they're talking about. Oh, I know she's on top of her stuff. Oh, he just came in here for that gotcha quote. Like, I love the game within the game and how they read us. I think if you're going to cover athletes, you kind of have to try to get to know who they are, what makes them tick. And I was a psych major undergrad. So learning, understanding about people, like, that's my whole thing. So The NFL covering football players has been a treat where I can use my psych degree as well.
I love it. You're using it all, and you have all the degrees. I mean, I will say, I think too, what makes you so great about your job going, transitioning, having that writing background and knowing how to kind of do that and tell that story and the way you put it together makes you even better at what you do when you're on camera and on air too. So you can tell that background that you have, but I know you graduated from Wesleyan University as well as Syracuse. You are based in New Jersey, but I know you're always repping NYC. So who are your teams? Where does your allegiance lie?
Okay. So I'm from Brooklyn originally. So that sort of comes out every once in a while. Usually when I'm on First Take with Stephen A, because he's from Queens, so I like to give him crap about that. But as far as teams go, like, here's the thing. In the city, we didn't have, like, I didn't experience the big, like, Michigan, Ohio State, college, like college football is all we know in our like, I'm from Brooklyn, New York City. It's like, we have like major sports teams. So it's like, there wasn't a lot of like, everybody wanted St. John's to do well. You know what I mean? But it wasn't like that sort of ingrained thing. So it was like, Knicks, we didn't have, the Brooklyn Nets were in New Jersey, like when I was growing up. So it's like, yeah, the Knicks. Everybody was a Knicks fan. John Starks, he doesn't know, but he was my first husband, when I was like 10. So, and then Yankees, I just happened to turn on the TV, when I was like 15, I turned on channel 11 instead of channel 9, channel 11, the Yankees were on, Mattingly was at first base. And then I got lucky. Like, that's when I started rooting for the Yankees. And then a year later, you know, they're winning it. So, but because I've covered the Yankees and the Mets and the Jets and the Giants and the Knicks and the Nets, I actually am not as much of a fan of sports anymore. This was the first year that I actually allowed myself to like root for the Yankees.
Yeah.
And of course, it was like the same frustrations I feel like I had a decade ago. It was like, how is Cashman building this team? Like, you know, we have no like kids out of the farm system. Like, it's always overpriced. And it was just, to get swept by the Astros is just, that was no bueno. So you see, I can't go back to that fandom. I think for me, it's hard because once you cover these teams and you see how the sausage is made sometimes, mm-hmm. it kills some of the fandom for you.
It does.
But now in football, I grew up, like, football was actually the sport that I wasn't as invested in from I am a diehard Jets or Giants. Like, I actually remember watching the Bills and being like, I hope they actually win a Super Bowl because they're in New York too. But now that I cover the NFL, it really is, I root for guys. Like, I root for guys that I know, guys that, like, I know their wives and their kids, you know, like all that stuff. Like, I hope they do well.
The personal, you get that interaction because it is different. Like, people, like you said, people, when they see you, they say, oh, sports and this great job and blah, blah, but all the work that goes into it. And when you're working in sports, it becomes a job. You're not as much focused of it as a fan because you're going in there and you're doing work. But the more you get to know these guys as people, and I think me too, just being in that world and being around athletes and meeting them. And once you get to know them, you know their personalities, you get to know their stories.
Like, their
family, you have this different connection with them too. So when you're watching them, you root for those individual guys, not necessarily this whole team. But you want them to do well, and they do, they become like a little part of you, your family. So that's part of it too. I think people understand, but I have to say, so in my household, so here I'm on the West Coast. So 7 a.m. is when I up in the morning, I'm getting my girls ready for school. I'm making lunches. So I always have ESPN on in the background. First Take is on at 7 a.m. my time here. So a lot of times I am watching.
You got yelling early in the morning on the TV. Boy.
As I'm putting the lunchbox together, that is what's going on in the background. But I love watching you on First Take. And what I love is, I love that relationship between you and Stephen A, because it kind of is, it reminds me like a big brother, little sister kind of relationship. But I like that you're always willing to put him in his place when he needs.
You know what's funny? That is the feedback that I get the most from NFL players, scouts, execs, or even just walking around stadiums. Like, the fans that see me, or the stadium security or police officers, they're like, You hold your own. You know what? I love that about you. You hold your own. And it kind of tickles me because that's literally the only way I know how to be. Like what you see on Get Up or First Take or SportsCenter, that legit is me. There's no TV like Kimberly versus Kimberly like off screen. And I think that is just a byproduct of me having a writing career for, you know, over a decade. Like the fact that I never thought like I would actually be on TV, you know, as much as people around me were like, oh, you gotta make that transition. I was just like, no, writing is my passion. This is where I want to be. It still is. But I think that's why the thing that has always stood out to me is you gotta be yourself. Right. So when I sit down, what like me and Stephen A on set is me and Stephen A in the makeup room or us in like the little cafeteria or but I will say I'm the only NFL reporter that's on First Take and it is a credit to him. Like everybody else that's on the NFL side of things, they're all analysts. Like I'm the only reporter. And I will say it's because Stephen A, the respect he has for me, but also just him being that mentor and that friend, and also saying like, look, like I want you to have a seat at this table, right? And he'll give me crap when he's not in studio and I'm sitting in his seat and he's like, well, that's the big chair, you better bring it if you're gonna be my seat.
He's,
you know,
texting but, you on the side, yes. Though, telling you like, okay, you got the spot today.
Yes, right? Yes, yes. No, but I love that because I think when people watch TV and they see Stephen A and they're seeing the like the histrionics, like that's him too. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to him one-on-one, it's very like, how you doing? It's very like low, like almost like his voice is almost like a whisper where people are, that's the thing people are surprised to hear. And they're surprised to hear like, wait, y'all actually get along? It's like, no, we get along great. He will push my buttons on purpose. And which is why I'm like, always like, okay, calm down. You're from Queens. Like you really don't want this smoke. Okay. You know, but I love the people that I work with. I think in this business, long hours, if you could tell by the bags under my eyes, not a lot of sleep.
No bags, girl. You
not a lot of sleep. But I think if you work with good people, it helps because it is a job. Like you said, I worked in finance too. My career is all over the place. I worked in finance. Yes, I know.
What a difference.
No, I worked in finance basically because I didn't have any money. Coming out of undergrad at Wesleyan in Connecticut, I had to pay back student loans. So I worked in finance for a year and a half. So I've done the 9-to-5. I worked for nonprofits before. I've sat in cubicles. Like I know what it's like at 5 o'clock to shut it down and be like, I'm not thinking about that place again till Monday. And this is the complete opposite. It's like work is all consuming. So I think if you don't like the people you're with, if you're not having fun, if you're not able to be yourself and connect with fans and followers in like a real genuine way and people like the players, like if I stopped working at ESPN today, I would still text Todd Bowles like, bro, what's going on? Like I would still text like, you know, the Bills GM Brandon Bean. Like I would check in on the family. I would check in on like Bilal Powell played for the Jets. Like it feels like 100 years ago. And I would still check and ask how he and his wife and the kids are doing. I just think it's important that the relationships you build as you do this job, like that has to be the foundation. It's a relationship business. And if you trade in on any of those relationships, I don't think you're really doing the job right.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, this is sports is a different thing. There's no, you go home, you turn it off and you're just like, okay, I'm done. You're ready for the next day. It's constantly, constantly going. Yeah. And nowadays, especially with NFL, I mean, it's every day of the week. It doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. So keeps you busy. Besides that, you are also on ESPN's only female led podcast, First Take, Her Take. So tell me a bit about the podcast and also why it is so important and so great to be a part of like female led voices in sports.
It is. I think the tricky thing for me is that I feel like when you have all female anything, the feedback is like, oh, here we go. Here we go. We got to have someone. Oh, okay. Now the women want to talk. And it can come off, depending on how it's done, it can come off really gimmicky, right? Like, okay, we need, like, it's anything. Like, yes, diversity is important. But if you're just putting some faces together because they're brown or whatever, like, that's not really it, right? Mm-hmm. For us, I think what's unique about us is that myself, Charlie Arnold, and L. Duncan, L. host 6 p.m. Sports Center, we are very different. Our jobs are very different. Like, I'm out in the field. Like, I'm out rain, sleet, hail, snow, sunshine, 90, 40 degrees. Like, I'm out there on game day and throughout the week. Elle, she's got the cushy lifestyle in the studio, hair and makeup all the time. And Charlie's a host too. Charlie, though, brings more of the fan aspect too. I think we're very different. We see life differently. And I think that the struggle for me with a podcast is, as a reporter and a writer, I'm about asking other people about them. Like, tell me about you. Like, Brittany, mm-hmm. like this podcast, like, it took a while for me to get comfortable, like, talking about me. And I think in the time that I've been at ESPN, I got there March 2020. I think we started the pod. Oh, Inauguration Day. Kamala Harris. Yeah. So like January 21st, 2021 is when we launched the pod. Since then, in that year and change, the thing for me has been, how do you show vulnerability, mm-hmm. give access to people and your life, things that are like personal, like even on the pod, like I've talked about having I went through a round of IVF, like struggling with infertility, like, which is weird to talk about because my entire adult professional life has literally been about telling other people's stories, not my own. And I'm a Capricorn and I'm very guarded and I don't like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't do vulnerability at all. Ask my husband. I don't like feelings, any of that stuff on the surface. Right. But yeah. I think what I found is that even my face on TV, it hasn't changed me, but I think it changes how people feel connected to me because they're getting more of a feel for like who I am, like the hand gestures, like the neon nails that some people hate, like all that is me. And I think if you are going to connect with people, you have to show them that, I'm up at 4, I'm up at 3, I have bags, I haven't slept, like I just exist on caffeine. Like, I'm struggling today, or this, it may look like, yes, I'm married. We struggle to have kids, like, you know, like all these things, just to let people know that, it's not just an individual thing. Like, we all have stuff that we're going through, and you really never know what people are dealing with. And that's, you know what I mean? I think I bring that back to players like you. Oh, these athletes, they make so much money. First of all, pause. Most of them don't make a ton of money. We know the Tom Brady's and all that, but there are a lot of guys who play 3 years and then they got to figure out what's next. So when you write about them, when you talk about them, you have to also be mindful of their stories, what they've gone through and what they may be dealing with or struggling with. Like, we're all sort of just doing the best.
Having that empathy and knowing what's going on. And I think, like you said, when you're on TV and people are used to getting and watching you, and they want to know more about you and they feel this connection to you. People probably stop you on the street now and they're like, hey, they think they know you. Girl, it's so good to see you.
It is wild. Yeah.
They feel like they know you because you're in their homes every day. They're watching you and they feel this connection to you. So this has been an outlet now, this podcast too, for you to kind of express a little bit more to them, which is nice to see. I want to talk. I'm just excited. Well, I'm a huge just football fan as it is. So I work in sports, but not so much in this and that. So I still am like this fan. So I'm excited because I want to just get to talk some football with you because that's kind of eat, sleep, and breathe that in my house.
Yep.
We're gonna get Kimberly's take on some of the hot topics and things going on in the NFL. So first off, we have to talk about, gosh, the quarterback situation this year. We'll start with Tom Brady. Tom having, which is shocking, not just, I'm sure shocking to you as well, but having really his worst NFL start ever. The Bucs are 3-5. Obviously, he just finalized his divorce, so he's going through a lot personally. Mm-hmm. He's busy with his businesses, you name it. But do you think that this is just poor play as a result of everything going on in his life and the drama? Or are we just seeing a new Tom? He's 45 and this is just the new Brady.
You know, girl, I wish I knew. Because I'm on television, like, you know, right off Tom Brady at your own peril. Like he, you know, he's been counted out before. But the way they've been looking, I mean, 0-3, like they haven't, like this is the first time he's lost three in a row since he became a full-time starter with the Patriots. Like it is bad. Like when Todd Bowles is talking about like, hey man, if we're going to play like this, there are going to be a lot of dark days. They don't have time for any more dark days. Mm-hmm. What bothers me about the Bucs is nothing is working. Like they can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. And I think as much as we want to talk about Brady, like, hey, Todd, like you're the defensive coordinator turned head coach. Like this was a team that was supposed to be ready-made, except they had a lot of offensive line questions, like huge offensive line questions. But I know all of that plays a part in why Tom looks 45 suddenly, why Leonard Fournette isn't running the ball like we're used to seeing. But defensively, what is the issue? Like, what is the reason that we are not better defensively? You know, and I understand like that game against the Ravens, they didn't play like three guys in their secondary. So I understand injuries are also part of it. I don't know how they can fix it, because it almost feels like it feels like they don't feel like themselves. Like Tom, anybody, like I'm married. You're like anybody who's married knows marriage is hard. And if anybody says marriage is not hard, then I could tell you they've either been married less than 2 years, they have no kids, or they have no lives, because those are the only yes. people out here saying that marriage is not hard. It's a day-to-day thing. Like you got to work on it day to day. And right. for him to be going through the dissolution of his marriage, like that is some heavy, heavy stuff. And he came back with no Gronk. Like everybody thought Gronk would come back. Right. And he hasn't. Tom came to Tampa because he didn't have to do the heavy lifting. Like the team, they had pieces. Plug in Tom, let's go win a Super Bowl.
All in play. Right.
And now they're not. So I'm very concerned. The silver lining though, that division, they won the head-to-head with the Falcons already. Falcons, I'm not a big believer in the Falcons, although they are in first place currently right now. I think the division is what gives Bucs fans confidence, but there's a lot to be worried about.
Yeah, no, people with Tom, it's always, you can never count him out. You can never count him out.
Because there's always, 400 but, years of history says that
I know,
too, right?
But I know what I'm seeing. I don't know. I think I'm about counting him out. And there's and not just him. It continues. It's just been, you never know. I mean, year to year, it changes. You think you know how things are going to be. You think you know how you can predict how teams are going to play. But then, I mean, it's kind of been the year of, you know, these star quarterbacks. It's not just Tom. It's Aaron Rodgers, too, which obviously I'm a Bears fan, so the Packers, I never have two.
You're like, whatever. Aaron Rodgers is struggling. Yes. I don't care. I do not care.
I can't wait. Struggle away, Aaron. My team again this season. But no, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, did we expect that out of him? I mean, I look at him too, and I'm saying, I have not seen this before. Who is this player that we're seeing out there on the field? And I know he's missing pieces, and I know he lost his star wide receiver. And so there's changes there. It's a really young squad, but they look pretty terrible as well. And then you've got Russell Wilson too. I mean, he's playing a little better, but
I need Denver to shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down, Denver. Like, let's just reset to 2023. Like something drastic has to happen in Denver.
Is this a fluke year, or are we seeing like the changing of the guard? Like it's now, those are the old guys.
Oh yeah.
It's now the young guys, we've got the Mahomes, the Allens, the Burrows, they're all coming in, and it's just that change now.
The changing of the guard it's taken place now. What's interesting is that Tom Brady he's the outlier. So like older guy switches teams, has success. Like Matt Stafford was able to do that. He's not as old, obviously, but he was able to do that in LA. Russ thought he was going to be able to do that. Russ is not the same player. And you also are going into a system where you also don't know the system. This is a new head coach, new coordinators. Like you can go after the money and want, and I'm not knocking Russ at all. You can go to a different situation because you think, yes, finally I'll be given the freedom to run the offense the way I want. But you got to be very sure that, yes, you are given that freedom, or that there is a plan in place, or like that head coach knows what he's doing. Because you can get paid, but you may not be winning games. And Nathaniel Hackett right now looks overmatched as a head coach. And that is what is disturbing. I understand needing time to gel, but I think the Broncos and the Raiders have just looked like they have been the two biggest disappointments. As bad as Aaron and as bad as Tom have been, their teams have been. Packers losing four in a row. Like, I don't think they will. But if they were to lose to the Lions this week, oh my God. Like sound the alarm, panic. No, don't tell me to relax. Like, it is time to sound the alarm.
The panic is in. I think the panic is in. It's like a different world all of a sudden. It's like, what is happening? Honestly, that's how I feel. What is happening? But you mentioned coaches being overmatched. And so far this season, with the craziness that there's been, we've only had one head coach firing, obviously Matt Rhule in Carolina. But at this point in the season, who do you think is that chopping block? Who should be looking over their shoulder, maybe looking for a new house somewhere? That who should be worried that they might be next?
I'm worried about Nathaniel Hackett only because when things don't go right internally, there becomes a power struggle. Like, usually it's when a team is losing, you have the head coach and GM who always told you, oh, we're in lockstep, we're a team, da, 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 da. When the losing happens, both of them are telling the owner, like, I don't know about this guy. Like, he really don't know what he's doing. Like, he didn't get me any players. You expect me to win. Meanwhile, the GM is like, I got him players. He can't coach. What I worry about in Denver is that you've committed so many resources to Russell Wilson. Like, you have mortgaged the future. You gave up players. You gave up a ton of draft picks, and you gave him like $250 million. You're not getting rid of him. Mm-hmm. So if it's not, what isn't working? Is it Russell not working? Is he not the guy? Or is the head coach that you believed in at first, but now you're starting to see? I think it'd be too soon to pull the plug on Nathaniel Hackett, only because there's a reason you hired him, right? Go back to those reasons, like go back to that research and remember, you like read those papers as to why you believed in him. I'm worried about Josh McDaniels in Vegas, because this is now the second time that. And we were so excited about the AFC West. Let's be real. Like, that was supposed to be like every game was going to be like, oh, shoot, grab your popcorn. It's on. Right. And Vegas has not looked good at all. And that's a team like you can't say they don't have the players, even if Darren Waller isn't 100% or battling injuries. Bisaccia, their former interim head coach, he had those dudes playing hard. You got rid of him to bring in Josh McDaniels, and the results have not been good. So yeah. McDaniels is the one outside of Hackett that I'm worried about. I am worried about Todd Bowles beyond the Bucks. Like, yes. if this implodes, continues to implode, like, I don't think he's getting another head coaching job because Bruce Arians stepped away and wanted to give all of his coaches, like, here's the team. They just didn't foresee guys retiring, guys being injured, Gronk saying, I'm done. And
they couldn't obviously see the wheels falling off as they have so far. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot. There's so much. I know. There's like so much I could go. I know I've got this clock ticking down because I know time, but there's so much to talk about. I'm like, okay. So quickly as we're going. So who are your picks for AFC championship game? What two teams do we think are going to be there?
So the championship game, I think it'll be the Bills and the Chiefs. Yeah. So it's funny because last year I covered the Chiefs and the Bengals in the AFC title game. Mm-hmm. And I covered a bunch of Seattle games. I spent Christmas Eve in Cincinnati last year. Talk about a team that nobody saw coming, the Bengals. Yeah. They made it to the Super Bowl. They started off 0-2, and now Joe Burrow's the one telling people, relax, we're good. I want to see how they do without Ja'Marr Chase these next few weeks.
Gut wrench to me that he was leading my fantasy team.
Fantasy team? And you know what? Wait, see?
And Breece Hall, who I picked up. And has been so much fun to watch. Like, I love watching him as a back. Wait, I got him late.
Late.
Thankfully, I handcuffed it with Michael Carter, but That mm-hmm. was like a gut. I was sad last week. I was sad.
You're
when he
sad.
Went down.
How about like, the Jets? Exciting. The Jets are sad. Yeah, no, man. They and I just covered the Jets yesterday. They are. They yeah, it was bad. Their offense.
As just I don't know him personally. I know you have known him, but as a young guy, as a rookie, mm-hmm. and having this type of season, I just was like so happy for him that he was out there and doing his thing. And then for his season to get cut like that, it just like it made me sad for him. Just that
no,
he had to go.
I'm sad. Like I hadn't even gotten a chance to talk to him. I was there draft day when the Jets drafted him. I was at their facility and I talked to their coaches. And Robert Sala, he was like, he was ecstatic, like exclamation points and text messages, like he, this is the home run hitter, like they wanted, they needed. And, you know, he has like a 62-yard, 64-yard touchdown run, and then he gets hurt. Yeah, this offense is clearly in need of him. And obviously your fantasy roster without Jamar Chase
I'm
and Breece.
Okay. I'm doing okay. I plugged in Tony Pollard this week, so it didn't work out too bad.
Okay, good. The smart. That's another one. Like Zeke versus Tony. Like who's the better back and all that.
I know. First they had the quarterback controversy. Now it's running yep. back. I mean, give Tony Pollard more carries. That's all I got to say. Selfish reasons.
No offense, Jerry. But you need advice, put in Tony Pollard. That's my guy. Yeah.
All right. So we got your picks for AFC, NFC.
Oh, NFC. So it's interesting because preseason I had actually picked my Super Bowl pick was going to be Bills versus 49ers. Mm. And I had the Bills winning, right? I think the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl this year. The NFC is so interesting because that was the preseason. Nobody expected the Philadelphia Eagles to be so good mm-hmm. or even the Giants to be a surprise. So I still feel good about the 49ers. So I'm going to actually... It's the Eagles, Dallas.
Which
one? I don't know. Like, I know because so the 49ers, I'm actually, that's what I picked in the preseason. So I'll stick with it. But if there's any team that I feel like could knock off the Eagles, it's the Cowboys, right? Like, I just think they match up well, division rivals. I think Michael Parsons is a beast. So I just don't see any holes in either. Maybe I need to get off the 49ers. I don't know because I don't see. Any deficiencies with either the Philadelphia Eagles or the Cowboys, when you look at their rosters, their lines are great. Like the secondaries are good. Like I just don't, Brittany, how can you do this to me?
All right. We got I got three there. That's cool. We're gonna, it's a toss up. We're going to toss up.
You know what? Stephen A wouldn't let me get away with that, but I'm glad. I'm glad because I'm sure on Wednesday he's going to ask me like, oh, so who's he thinking AFC? So we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, I know wrapping up, I want to think, but before I let you go, there's one mm-hmm. other thing that I have to ask you about. I follow you on Instagram and mm-hmm. I have to say, I know you are a big fan of your Jordans. Your shoe game is on point. Okay. I'm loving it. I love that you say you love dresses and Jordans. I am in on both mm-hmm. of those. I'm feeling it, but I love seeing your shoe game. It is definitely on point. How many would you say you have?
Not that many. Like I'm not like, I only have like 50 something J's. Like that's not a lot. Like 50. When you see, okay.
I know there's like people in the blend, but 50 come on. That's a lot.
My husband will tell you it's a lot. But no, I think for me, it's all about functionality, right? Like I can't be on an NFL sideline, like pregame running around after coaches and players in heels. I personally cannot do it. And I have now, it's to the point where I wear J's now in studio and my followers on game days. And when I'm on Wednesdays, they're like, what J's are we rocking today? I have managed to trick these people into thinking that J's and dresses make sense. But I'm doing it because you got to be you. I have never seen, I've gotten so much feedback from my followers. Most people love it, right? Most people love the dresses, the J's, the highlighter nails. The amount of men that are upset with the dresses and the sneakers has really shocked me. Like, and it just reminded me, like, I've had people tell me like, stop, like, that's not how you're supposed to dress as like a woman. And I'm like, that is so wild to me. Right. So that only makes me like dig in more, but it always reminds me like on TV, people just assume whatever. People have their own versions in their head of what you're supposed to be. And especially as a woman, as a Black woman, in these spaces, I am more like determined to be authentically me. So it's not so like, yes, I could put on some lubes if I want. I can, and I do look cute. But if I'm on set and it's an easier day for me to run around Manhattan and come back in between shows to rock some J's, like your personal style, I feel like it says a lot about you, right? And I think people can relate to, hey, she's just her. Like, I'm just a kid from Brooklyn who happened to end up on TV. So that's what it
well,
is.
Well, I say, girl, keep doing you because it is working. All the people that want to say it, I love it. The nail game is strong. The shoe game is strong. Rock the dresses. If anyone has a problem with it, okay, can't be bothered. Right?
I'm going to send them to you. I'm going to send them right to you.
Because I'm telling you, it works and it looks great and all the haters can't be bothered. But no, you are continuing to do great things. I'm a pleasure to finally get to meet you. So I will hope you consider me a friend. I would love to stay in contact because I could sit here and talk fashion. I could sit here and talk sports with you all day. It's actually been a pleasure.
I've enjoyed it. We have to do more of these. I have to get back on your podcast calendar real soon.
Let's do it for sure. I would love that. So thank you so much again. Kimberly Martin, everybody, make sure you follow her. Follow her on Instagram too, because again, it is the shoe game is strong. Thank you so much for stopping by The Sweet Life.
Appreciate it.